a boozy bum.
Look like such a boozy bum.
I look like a boozy bum.
Sitting here on the couch. Welcome back. I am back on the couch with my mom.
Hi.
We are here to talk again and update you since the last podcast, because a lot has changed.
A lot. I don't even know how long that has been.
I think it's been at least a month.
At least. It had been before your birthday.
Before my birthday. It's been over a month.
2 months.
2 months almost. Wow. So we're doing another episode. Let's talk about
what's still changed. Talking to each other.
We officially decided on the name, which is the Yellow Couch Sessions, hence the yellow
chair. The yellow.
Hence the yellow couch.
Couch.
And because couches resemble therapy, and here we are healing and doing work. Yeah. It might not always look like that, but yeah, it can.
That's where we're at.
We might not always be on a yellow couch either, but this is where it started.
We may not always be in therapy. Oh, Lord, help us.
So give me some updates on what has changed in your life since we last talked. What did we last talk about?
Ooh, I don't remember. I more remember what changes you've had in some decisions that you made. I know some changes I've had in my life. I don't know if we talked about them on the podcast or not, but I went to Costa Rica.
You did.
Yeah. Do you really want to talk about me or want to talk about you?
Well, I'm the host, so I'm just asking you questions.
Okay. What has changed about me since our last podcast? I have more tools to support myself than I had 2 months ago. I actually have found a new sense of enjoying time by myself and kind of bringing my introvert back in a positive way. People think I'm an extrovert. You know I'm not. I like being around people. It's not that I don't like being around people, but I don't have a need and I don't gain energy from being around new people and meeting new people all the time. I do have a need to spend time by myself, and I haven't done that in a long time. And actually going to Costa Rica, one of my biggest fears was being alone with my own thoughts. Now I'm not going to backslide. As I said today, I'm not backsliding. But I did find a renewed appreciation and love for being alone with myself. I fell in love with myself, as crazy and weird as that sounds. And I'm like, I'm pretty amazing. Like, being alone with me is awesome. What's wrong with that? I like being alone with me now most of the time. Doesn't mean I don't want some company once in a while, but
I'm excited for you because I love being by myself. And I love my alone time. So it's very different to see that for you because...
Well, it did start on this podcast.
What do you mean?
Well, we talked about that day that I needed time to myself.
You needed alone time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's really when it was like starting to change for me. Like realizing I do need that downtime and yeah.
Yay.
Yay. And probably another part of that is a good friend of mine pointed out to me that I am rarely by myself. Yeah, I thought about it and it was true. And it had become kind of a coping mechanism. But I remember like with a food truck life, I remember never having time to myself except when I was driving the truck to or from, unless, I mean, the first couple of years you rode with me or somebody would be riding with me. And so, but I remember like, I couldn't even take phone calls. I couldn't even make phone calls without somebody else being there. Like every minute of my life, I had someone until you went to college.
That's true. I remember the truck rides that was your alone time when you rode by yourself. And sometimes you would have little breakdowns by the time we got there because you had time to yourself and had all these thoughts going on.
Yeah. And they were good breakdowns. They were like, ooh, that needed to happen. No, I have a lot more time by myself these days. Okay. So what has changed for you since the last podcast?
I'm officially going to get my own apartment in my own space. Start a little life of my own in my own space.
Yes.
I'm very excited. That will be in 2 weeks.
Yeah.
A little over 2 weeks.
No, a week and a half. A week and five days to be exact.
A week and a half.
It's going to be awesome. I'm happy for you. And I think you decided that or you were really seriously considering it after your boyfriend came to stay. And you were afraid to tell me because you thought I would not be okay with it, which is crazy to me.
That's actually not the case.
Oh, okay. That's my perspective. That's what I remember.
Things changed for me after I had a conversation with CJ. We pretty much had a conversation about where we're at in our relationship and life and what to expect and what we should do going forward.
Because you're in a long-distance relationship.
We're in a long-distance relationship, states away. That gave me a better perspective on if I think something's good for me right now, then I should just do it and not let whatever's going on between us be the factor of it. And so for me, it was, I am getting this apartment. I have to sign a 12-month lease. That means I have to stay here for at least a year. And that was a big decision for me. And ultimately, right now, that's the decision I need to make because having an apartment will be a big step for me in a good direction. And so he was very supportive. And that's what changed for me after we had that conversation. And that was after he went back.
You had the conversation after he went back?
Yeah.
Okay. But I remember you were afraid to tell me that that's what you thought you should do because you didn't think I'd be okay with it.
I think I was afraid to tell you because, I don't know, I was probably afraid of your reaction because sometimes when I tell you certain things, you're not necessarily excited for me. You more think
about myself.
No, you more think of, how do I explain this? It's like when we had a situation where you were thinking of all the bad possibilities for me. You were worrying about things for me when really I had wished you would just be confident in me instead of adding worry. And so if you were going to worry about me paying,
afford it.
Let me finish. If you were worrying about me paying for my apartment or signing a lease or not being sure of a decision or not having enough income, any of that, I didn't want to bring it up to you because I thought you would just...
Did I do that?
No, you didn't.
When?
I could see that on your face. Did I do that?
I wasn't sure if I did or not. I thought that the conversation went well because I remember being confused of why... Because you prefaced it with, I don't really want to bring this up, but I need to bring this up because I'm not sure how you're going to react.
Well, I also didn't want you to be like... Sometimes you will make me feel bad for decisions because it's like, oh, you're saying I'm a bad mother right now. Like, you want to move out. I'm that bad that you want to get out of here. Like, you've said that before. And that's my perspective is, oh, you're like making me feel bad for wanting to leave.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember when I said that. That was a while ago. Yeah.
That's the attitude right now.
Yeah. Ooh, I thought we were past that. Well, because I thought you were a burden and that I wanted you out of here. That's why I was confused because I was like, why would you think that? First, I think you're a burden and then, but you want to leave because I'm a bad mom. Like, it seemed contrary to each other. So I wasn't sure. I'm like, oh no, where are we at? Because I thought we were past that. And I thought that you were worried about feeling like a burden, but okay, good. Maybe you don't feel like that anymore because I didn't want you to feel like that.
There was a time where I felt like a burden and that was... when our fight happened that we talked about on the last podcast and where you said, well, I know you don't like it here, so why don't you just move back to Phoenix? Like, that made me feel like, okay, you clearly don't want me here.
Right, right, right.
So, yeah, clearly I felt like a burden.
Right, but that's what I'm saying. But then you were worried that I wouldn't want you to move out, which would be the opposite.
No, I was worried. That's what I'm telling you.
Okay.
No matter what your thoughts are, this is okay. My perspective, that I was worried that you... the whole bad mom situation. And also just smooshing down whatever I had because of your own concern that I couldn't do it.
Got it. What I'm thinking is it's natural. Like, we'll have conversations where then we will, like, you will want to, and we will flush out the pros and cons, which is different.
Yeah, it's different.
Because you do want me to, like, give my opinion if there is, like, worry, not worry, but like, these are things to look at.
Yeah.
But not in the moment of like telling me the news. You don't want that to come first.
No. And it's like when CJ was visiting and I could obviously tell you were annoyed because we were staying up and we were going out and doing things. And then you were concerned about how I was living my life and how I was going to return back to my life once he left. Mm-hmm. And that was not good because that was worrying about things that I was already confident that I was going to be fine.
Yeah, we had that. That happened after the first podcast. We got through that, right?
We did get through that. Oh, but that's like the different types of worry coming in. Like, that's part of why I didn't want to tell you is because you might be worrying about things that I'm already confident I can do.
Yeah, but there's been some now positive times where I have had confidence in you and didn't bring that worry in. I think because we had that conversation, I'm more aware of it and
yeah,
and want to make sure that it comes across that I do have confidence in you and your decisions and your ability to recover or get through something or support yourself emotionally. So that has helped, I think.
I think so too. I think that that's one thing that you do really well is anytime that I bring something up, it might be hard in the moment, but eventually you always know how to self-reflect mm-hmm. and you take that into consideration, take what I'm saying into consideration, and then you always do change, I feel like, when you agree with it and you think it's necessary. And so I appreciate that. And I thought that was a good conversation.
Agree. Yellow couch session changes lives. I mean, we have numerous yellow couch sessions without recording.
Yes, we do.
This is where the reality of our life happens.
That's the whole CJ situation with me.
Yeah, it was on the couch.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Should we talk about that quick?
What?
That whole conversation we had?
Sure, we can.
Okay. Pretty much.
It's so embarrassing.
Is it really?
That was not a good moment for me. Like, I knew that I was kind of being a bitch, but I couldn't help it any longer. I could
tell.
I couldn't deal with it any longer. So I feel like what I said and did, I'm not happy about it. And I apologized. Not proud of that moment.
It makes you feel better. I don't even fully remember the exact words that you said. I just know how it felt.
I think hard enough, I will.
Let me explain now.
It could have been so much worse. Like, I feel like if I compare myself to a year ago, maybe, I would have been way worse. Anyway.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay. My boyfriend CJ was visiting because we're long distance. He came over to visit. And we spent a lot of our nights staying up. Not even that late, in my opinion.
But oh, my gosh. You were eating supper at 10 p.m., first of all.
Some people are going to think you're crazy for saying 10 p.m. is late.
Okay, when do we normally eat supper?
Well, sometimes I don't eat supper. I snack at 8 p.m.
8, probably the latest. But usually it's like right after work, 5, 6 o'clock.
Yeah, okay, let me finish. And we usually work out at 5 a.m. And so I don't know if my mom was expecting me to work out every day at 5 a.m.
No, not every day.
But we were staying up too late to be getting up at 5 a.m., okay? We would... Maybe one night we went to dinner, one night we went to the movies. Yeah, we did. And so we were doing things later than I normally would in my everyday life. And so CJ and I were playing this little couples game where you ask questions and we were sitting on the couch and we had planned to get dinner, but we wanted to play this game and then we were going to get ready and go out to dinner after. And so I think you were going to bed.
Yeah, it was late.
Okay, so my mom was going to bed.
And I was gone. Like, I came back and you were still on the couch not getting ready to go to dinner. I'm like, I'm going to bed and you guys aren't even getting ready yet?
I think it was like 7:30 or 8 at this time. I'm pretty sure. I think it was like 8. But anyways, I think what you said, as you were stomping around, you were clearly annoyed at us on the couch, and I could feel the tension, and I was getting angry at you because I don't like when my guests feel like they are a burden, and that's what I was feeling mm-hmm. from you is like, okay, there's some.
That's
type
how
of
you know it was that
on.
Bad because I didn't even care, and usually I won't do that in front of other people, but
yeah, because I know how that feels. I don't want anybody else to feel that. So, as she was done stomping around in the kitchen, she walks over past us, and we are sitting on the couch right here. She walks over past us. And I believe what you said is, I don't know how you're going to go back to living your life on Saturday. Does that sound right?
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah. She's pretty much like, I don't know how you're going to survive once he's gone on Saturday. Something like that.
I said something about, I'm worried about Saturday Caterbury.
Yeah, something like that.
I said something like, are you, like, you haven't gone, like, you guys are still whatever. And you're like, don't worry about it. And I said, I'm more worried about Caterbury on Saturday when CJ's gone. I think I said that.
It was something like that, yeah. But it was pretty sassy. And it was sassy. Pretty like, what are you trying to say by that? Just say what you mean then. So then she was saying that she walked off and she went to go to bed, I'm guessing. And so I was very pissed off in that moment and almost like I felt wronged, and I was like boiling inside. But I was like, okay, I'm just going to try to enjoy my night with CJ and not get mad and let it spoil our dinner. So we eventually went to dinner. Everything was fine. I didn't think about it. And then I think I talked with CJ about it a little bit. And he was like, yeah, I don't know what she meant by that, but that seemed a little off. Like, I don't know. Like, I don't understand what she was trying to say. And I was like, I know exactly what she was trying to say, and it was not okay.
You knew.
And so I was like, I'm going to have to talk to her about it. No. So we talked about it after CJ left.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't even know how the conversation started. I think I said something along the lines of, we need to talk about what you said to CJ and I the night we were going to have dinner. I came to the conclusion during that conversation, and we talked about how when you said you're worried about the Cadbury on Saturday, how that was adding unnecessary worry into myself. And you explained that you saying that meant that you were worried about how I was going to get back to my regular routine of life.
Yeah.
After living differently while he was here.
Mm-hmm.
And I explained that that adds unnecessary worry because I'm not worried about how I'm going to get back to my regular routine. I trust myself enough. I know how to support myself. And you saying that didn't help the situation.
Right. So this was my perspective and why I said what I said, was because I saw, like, as a mom, I was kind of pissed off at CJ, to be honest. Should I say this on here or no? It's not his fault. Because you were doing what you wanted to do, and that's what I needed to realize. And I needed to trust you that you can do whatever you want to do and you're going to be fine. But as a mom, which sometimes we cross lines of boss and mom, and I think sometimes the boss part comes in, but this was totally as a mom, and it was seeing you, like, I just wish that he would have got up early and he would have conformed to your schedule instead of you conforming to what his norm. That's my perspective. I'm not saying that that's what happened, but my perspective was, is you were losing yourself and conforming to what would be his schedule. And I know there's time change differences, so it's not even reality. I'm just saying that was my natural perspective. And so that was my concern. And then I'm like, and I'm going to have to be here to pick up the pieces after he leaves, and she's off of her schedule, and she's got to get back on her schedule. Like, that's what all the things that I was thinking when I made that statement, which you then had to remind me that you know what you're doing. And you can be trusted.
Yeah, because I remember saying that, like, even if he is doing those things, which I don't believe he was.
No.
But even if he was, that it's still my decision,
right,
whether I want to go along with it or talk to him about it.
Yes.
And I told my mom that week, doing all those things with CJ, because she even mentioned, like, she was mad because I missed my therapy appointment. And I told her that doing those things with CJ and spending that time with him, with what we had, was more than anything that I already had going on could do for me while he was here. And so that ultimately was why I did what I did, is because that was important to me, and I knew that it only lasts for a time, and I'd go back to my regular life after that.
So it ended well, our conversation.
Yeah.
And I apologize and admitted that, yes, I did that and that was wrong. And I will do better. And I have.
You have. So thank you.
Yes. What do you feel in that moment? Like, when you made the decision, I am going to talk to my mom about this. What is your biggest fear? Like, what are the emotions that you start feeling leading up to that conversation?
I definitely think there's a little bit of anxiety. I think with that particular instance, I had more confidence than maybe something that I felt but didn't know what was going on. But I knew that I was in the right to be feeling what I was feeling, and that whatever I needed to talk to you about was gonna be, like, it needed to be confronted, because, like, I knew what I was feeling was right. Like, I didn't think that I was in the wrong for feeling the way that I felt for it, and I thought that you would accept it. But that's where the anxiety comes in, is, like, I think about how we used to communicate. And, like, that there's still trauma there of, like, oh, she could blow up. She could be mad at me for bringing this up. And that wasn't the case. And so every time that that's not the case, that helps me a little bit more.
Gain trust.
To communicate with you. So I think it's different with different scenarios and especially different people. Like, I have more anxiety if I'm not sure if what I'm about to confront is true or not, then I definitely have more anxiety of, okay, it could go this way or this way. So yeah, it just depends.
Why is it so important for you to have a conversation?
For me, it's an inner peace. It's an inner turmoil that's going on. And also, more so probably, it's I don't want it to happen again. And I have a hope that if I talk to you about it, that things will change. I know right now we're living in the same house. Like, I can't live when there's like animosity or like weird feelings going on. And so I know that if I'm the one feeling those feelings, then it's my responsibility to tell the other person to try and clear it up.
Good. Just curious, because I think like sometimes I know for me, when I'm feeling that angst, it's hard to, because it's so hard to confront the conversation, because you know it's going to be difficult. You know feelings could be hurt on both sides. There's a lot of unpredictable things. But you like go back to like, but okay, it was safe this one time when we had a talk, so maybe it'll be safe this time. But knowing, like almost visualizing the peace you're going to have if you have the conversation and it ends well, is the motivator to have the conversation, even when it's like, I don't know, this is so hard. It's like, but the end result is so worth it if it goes well, that it's worth taking that risk. Because it is a risk to have that conversation with somebody when you don't know how it's going to go.
That's good. I think like you were saying, how you think about past conversations and like, okay, well, this one went well. Like, I do think about that. And like, even like reflecting on our conversations that we've had, even since the last podcast, like it just gives me hope. I don't know. I think we're headed in a good direction. And so every time that something comes up, I think it's a little bit easier for us to communicate and understand. But it is like a constant work.
It is so much work. Like, yeah, we're both doing the work. Like, it's so important to both of us. And I think that's the key in any relationship where you're trying to keep the relationship and preserve it, nurture it, grow it, that you both have to be willing participants to do the work. Because when it's like, oh, I'm constantly changing myself, I'm changing my approach, I'm trying not to get as offended, like all these things, but if the other person is never doing anything different, it's like, this is not reciprocating.
Yeah, it's not reciprocated. Yeah, I think the more you're both on the same track of wanting the same thing, it just makes things so much easier. And it makes you feel more comfortable with it.
We had that conversation with somebody this week. I won't go into it, but I think there was a risk of not knowing if this other person cared about the relationship as much as you do, whichever that is. Maybe you don't, I don't know, but
I do.
You do care about the relationship, but
that's why I had a conversation.
Right. Yeah. But you also knew that person might not care as much as you do. And that's tough to put yourself out there and to find out, like, are they going to care enough to, you know, apologize or see my point of view or do something different next time?
Yeah. I think it's a very vulnerable situation. Mm-hmm. And for me in that instance, I was thinking of there's this or there's this, and if it's this and they don't accept what I'm saying, I'm a person who just like, I set a boundary and like, okay, I've given you chances to let me trust you, and if you're just gonna keep blocking it off, then I'm gonna block it off because you're not a safe person.
Yeah.
And it didn't go that way, in my opinion.
No,
there's definitely work to be had,
right,
in that relationship.
It's still like, the future will tell, like,
yeah,
if there's change that happens.
Yeah, there's like little glimmers. So
I feel that big time in some relationships that I have right now, of not knowing for sure if the other person is really doing the same amount of work as I am, or wanting to, or yeah, it's hard to know sometimes. Well, we had I don't know how this works in, but we had a conversation today where in the past, and it seems to be on Sundays. Actually, we talked about it in the podcast last time, because you said that I had a weird, you know, you weren't sure what my attitude was or my mood or whatever. And you figured out, like, I probably just needed alone time.
On the podcast?
Yeah. And we have that quite a bit where one of us has a mood and we don't know what it is, but we assume that maybe we did something or we're annoying the other. Like, I always think I'm annoying you when you're in a funk. I think it's because I'm annoying.
And that's
you.
When I need alone time. And yeah. I probably am annoyed, not by you, but that I need alone time, right, and I'm not taking it for myself.
Yes. Yeah. And so today I had that vibe and I caught it and knew. And so I was able to tell you, like, I know that, like, mentally right now, I'm not where I want to be, but I know I have the tools. This is what I'm doing. And I said, you can say no, and I'm totally fine with it, but I need your support from now until this time. Like, I need this focus, and I need to mentally be strong, and I could use your support. If you can't support me, I'm totally fine with that, but I'm just letting you know, like, if you can, I will take it, because this is what I'm going through, and this is what I'm trying to accomplish. And that went well.
Yeah. I had no idea what you were going to say, so I was so scared.
Right now? Or then, in the car. Then. In the car, because what did I say? How did I start it?
I thought you were going to confront me about something I had done, so I was like, oh no, we got to have a...
Oh no, what would you have done?
Well, that's another thing I was going to say, is that, like, having conflict conversations is super emotionally draining, and so... Like, when you're constantly working to do it, like, yeah. I was scared that was going to be it. But no, I was so proud of you for telling me what you needed, because, like you said, I could tell there was a vibe going on.
Mm-hmm.
And knowing us, like, we will take it the wrong way and assume it's because I'm doing something you don't like, or I'm being something you don't like. But that was not the case. And you really just needed support. And I didn't tell you this, but for me, it's a huge thing if you're able to tell me, like, a time frame.
I didn't even know that, and I did that.
That was really nice.
From now, like, until 9:30 a.m. tomorrow, launch.
It gives me a clear end goal. Like,
okay, I can let her go now.
It's just, like, it gives me enough space to know if I can support you.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you say, I just need you to support me right now, like, there's no end. Like,
right. Okay, like, how long
can I do that? I don't know if I can.
Yeah.
But you telling me that, yes, I can do that. And I'm glad that you told me, because otherwise I had thought something completely wrong.
That's so funny. And it's funny because the time, it's just because I know, like, this is so important to me. And I mentally need to be so in it to make sure I do it, or I'm not going to. And I know, like, if I start fading, it's gonna, whatever. Great. We're doing it. Tomorrow.
Oh yeah, tomorrow. She needs to be mentally prepared for tomorrow, not tonight. Tomorrow.
Right. But I can't let myself slip now, or
no.
I won't be ready tomorrow. So yeah. Ugh. What else we got? I saw this Simon Sinek reel. He's an author and a speaker. Simon Sinek.
What's a book?
Why. I think he's the guy that's behind the Knowing Your Why. I always get him and Seth Godin messed up, but
you would know him if you saw him. I definitely would know. I just don't know right now. Yeah. Anyways.
Anyway, he was talking about that he found out a friend went through a really hard time, and he was really hurt because a friend didn't reach out to him. Mm. And he's like, why didn't you reach out to me? Like, I would have been there for you. And I don't know if she said, I didn't know if you had enough time or something like that. And then he said, do you know it takes 8 minutes to help someone just, like, get back on track? Or, like, if you can just give someone 8 minutes of your time when they're going through something tough, it can shift everything for them. And so he said, now they have a code of, like, hey, do you have 8 minutes?
Mm.
And... yeah. And I thought, oh, man, that's so true. There's a couple people that'd be like, if you just give me 8 minutes, come on. That's all I need is 8 minutes. And give me a hug, you know, give me a little encouragement, and boom, I'm back to it. So I thought that was good.
That is good. That's interesting. I could totally see that with some of the relationships in my life.
Yeah. Like, yeah.
If they just need 8 minutes, then I know, okay, I can give you 8 minutes.
Right. Yes.
Or if I need 8 minutes, then yeah.
Yeah.
It's universal. I like that.
Yeah. Instead of, like, how long is this phone call going to last? Or,
yeah.
I mean, sometimes I want more than 8 minutes, but if that's all.
Yeah. Even from you sometimes, it's like, okay.
Right.
Can I just have 8 minutes? Or, yeah.
I'm good with setting a timer.
Oh, I was going to say two other changes that have happened in my life, because I forgot. Just completely blanked. But I started two new jobs.
Oh my gosh. Here we go. Whoa. All right. Let's get into it.
So the first one that I started was working at a coffee shop here locally. And that was mainly just going to be on the weekends, but it might change. And I'm still working there, still with it. So we'll see what happens down the road.
Why did you take that on?
I took it on, first of all, because there's a deep reason, there's a few other reasons. Yeah. First reason is because I had a breakthrough in therapy to where I felt like I was coming out of a freeze, and I felt more available in life and to what God was doing in my life. And so, second of all, because I needed an outlet other than my current job with you, and I needed to try something different that would maybe be fulfilling in a different way, but that was still work and still making me income, and but something that was different, and also to work for somebody different other than my mom.
Right. Because that was kind of a hang up.
That was a hang up, yeah. I had never worked for anyone except my mom.
Except as an RA.
Yeah, besides an RA, which that is a full-time job. So I would include that, but it's also a different dynamic. So that's why I did the coffee shop. And I'd heard wonderful things about the owner, and they're really well-known in our area. And I was really excited too, just to be in their inner circle. I thought they seemed like really cool people. And I found out that they are. They're very welcoming, and it's a great job. They're very kind. And then I also started another job.
Hold on, back up to that.
Okay.
Another reason that you started that was because you were confident in that type of work. And so you're like, oh, it'd just be nice to just work and do something I know how to do and just feel like I did work at the end of the day.
That is true. I think I definitely missed working in coffee because the job I have right now is in coffee, but it's completely different. It's nothing to do with making lattes, serving people. And I really miss like connecting with people. And like you said, just working, like you can pretty much turn your brain off from any like deep thinking just to like
autopilot,
yeah. Do the job, get it done. And then
no question you're done. What your job is.
Yeah.
Just keep making drinks.
You definitely, like I definitely had to learn, and I'm still learning so much of everything that you have to do, like how they prep, how they serve people, like what their register is, like
their recipes,
like just little things that are definitely, I'll still be learning for quite a while. And I've definitely messed up a few times, but.
Oh, I didn't know about this.
I sliced the wrong piece of cake yesterday.
Oh no.
Yeah, but I think they sold it anyway.
Okay.
Anyways, yeah, but I definitely had to learn, but it's also like once you get it, it is autopilot because you just like, you can do it. And coffee, when I'm making coffee, I can just, it's easy. Like I don't have to worry about if I know how to do it, if I can do it, right. I know I can do it.
Nice. Okay, other job.
My other job is an audiovisual job, and it's working for a company that they rent equipment out to events, and they put on events with their equipment. So like they'll set up lighting, they'll set up the audio for it, they'll have mixing boards,
screens, the stage, the sound booth.
Yep, the sound booth, they'll set up the stage, they'll do live streaming for the event. And one event I ran the camera so that you could see the speaker on different projector screens, this whole bunch of technical skills. And
spotlight.
I did a spotlight for a concert. So they set up concerts, they do corporate events, anything like that, but anything that has to do with lighting, visual, or audio, they're the ones who know everything about those things, and they know the equipment they need. They know how to set it up. It's a lot of setup, a lot of teardown for those types of events. And then there's this other portion of this that's the same job, and it is installing equipment, and it's audio equipment
and visual, maybe,
and cameras. Visual probably. Yeah,
you did a camera thing, didn't you? Run a cable for a camera?
No. Oh yeah. Yeah, I did. That's right. Yeah, so that job, one time I shadowed and I had to get up into the ceiling and
in the insulation
and move the ceiling pads and run cable through the ceiling and tape it up in the rafter things. I didn't have to hook the camera up because I don't know how to do that, but I did the dirty work and I got in the ceiling and it was all itchy and stuff and learned a few things. Is definitely above my level, but yeah, we got this camera hooked up in a church and got it recording how they wanted it to.
You went out on a bid or something, right?
I went out on this bid.
Yes.
And so there was a company that needed audio equipment for their outside area for ambiance and their customers and to make it nice. And so we pretty much talked to this guy, listened to all his concerns, walked around, and it was freezing cold outside. I didn't have a jacket. The wind was blowing, and I thought I was going to get hypothermia. Not really. Like a windburn. I don't know. I was really cold, though. And that was the same day, actually, that I went and installed that camera.
Insulation.
Mm-hmm. They do a lot of different things. And
so why did you want to take that job, I guess?
I wanted to take that job because I truly do love audio. And that's part of why, like, I love this podcast. I love figuring out how to have and having good audio. And so I thought I'd be able to learn more from these people who deal with audio equipment, visual equipment, and to learn from them to better myself and figure out if that's something that I would be interested in getting further into. And so what I learned from it...
What have you learned?
What I learned was that their type of audio and visual is actually very different from what I like about audio and visual. And I didn't necessarily know that. I thought I would learn a lot anyways. And so I learned that theirs is very much to do with setting up, tearing down, and running the equipment. Whereas I really like editing and I like changing audio levels and like making it into something.
Not in the moment.
Not in the moment. Not in the moment and not installing the audio. Like, I would rather be the person who's working with the audio that was installed.
Right. After it's installed.
After it's installed. But also not, like, doing one-time events. That's just, like... Mm. And I also realized that I like working on my own projects. Mm. I just learned a lot about myself. And this job, you know, it wasn't bad. It just wasn't for me. But I'm still working it, technically.
Yeah. On call.
I'm on call. I've definitely learned enough to be more helpful than I was when I started. So I'll probably be working more of the events where they set up, tear down, and like run equipment for people during events rather than the installs. That's just a tricky situation that's going on there. But
yeah, because it's two different businesses and the person that technically hired you is more on the install side than the production side.
Yeah.
Which you kind of knew that going into it, but.
But I'm glad to at least, you know, have learned that because now I'm able to focus on what I love is the audio and making content that is inspiring to me. Mm-hmm. It's not for anybody else except for myself to put out to the world, and I have control over it, and I can make it sound like I want to. I can put the message out that I want. Like, it's all of that. And I think, realistically, chasing these jobs has made me realize that it's just pushing me further from what I really want to do, which is the podcast, you know, making videos, doing things to support myself, my visions, and my inspiration for the world.
And I think there's something else you learned through it that maybe you won't mention. That...
Are you talking about communication? Is that what I...
No, I'm talking about how... You realize how great...
Oh, I got it.
Okay.
I just forgot.
I just love this part.
I did also realize, this is not my mom just saying it, but I did also realize that I do have a really great boss and a really great job with where I'm already at, which is with my mom and her business. And so working for other people just made me realize how different bosses work, how different environments are. And my mom... I've learned, and I already knew this, but until you get out and do something else, you don't necessarily see it for its fullness. And so, yeah, my mom, she does a great job at making an environment for her employees that is supportive and well-working and communicative. And it's not necessarily perfect.
Right, because I'm not good at giving expectations a lot of times.
There's definitely downsides to you having you as a boss. Yes.
Yes.
But you do so many things well that it just made me have a more grateful attitude for what I already have and realize like how good I have it. Yeah, like I said, it's not perfect. And the people there, you know, we're all not perfect. And so we're not going to always have this great environment just because we're human. Mm-hmm. But you always strive to help everybody get to that point, which I think is huge. I also realized that I'm able to be very feminine.
Yes,
in your job.
Right. I forgot about that part.
Because doing this job with not the coffee shop, but the audio and the visual business, it just made me feel so masculine. And again, it's not bad. It's just not for me. But like down to the t-shirts that we had to wear. And like it works.
We were excited about maybe wearing hiking boots. But
it was. Everybody there wears hiking boots. I was like, ooh, cool. I have those.
And then you're like, oh, I'm wearing hiking boots and collared shirts.
And it fits for what they're doing. Right, yeah, but it's just not ideally what I want to wear every day.
Right.
So, Yeah, I felt very masculine and climbing in the ceiling and like getting insulation. Like that just seems like a job I've seen my grandpa do growing up. And like, it just makes me feel like, ooh, I'm learning all these. Look at me. I'm tough. Like, I don't want to be like that. Like, I really don't enjoy that.
Yeah.
I think I have spent a lot of my life trying to like do things.
Oh, sorry.
No, I think I've spent a lot of my life trying to do things that I can learn and conquer, mm-hmm. not only to make myself feel proud, but also to like show others I can do this. Mm-hmm. And I have been exhausted from doing that. And so I've tried really hard, like you said, to become softer and mm-hmm. like not lie to myself and be like, you like this and you're going to show that you can do this. I don't want to do that anymore. I want to be true to what I actually mm-hmm. want to do and what I like and what I was made for.
Yeah, that's interesting because there's a balance, I feel like, because you really wanted to learn boxing.
I did.
Yeah.
Which that would be makes like, me feel more feminine, though, somehow, mm-hmm. is because, like, it's like you're a woman boxer, you're woman power. It's not like I'm running wire in the ceiling, woman power. I don't know. Like, it makes me feel, like, strong and sexy.
Yeah.
If I can, like, box well.
Right.
That sounds so funny to admit. But whereas, like, doing stuff in the ceiling makes me feel like an old man. I don't know.
Like grandpa.
Yeah. And then you just feel dirty at the end of the day. And it's like.
And you were going to wear that shirt again.
Yes, I put the shirt on again because we had an event and I didn't have time to wash it.
We're walking out the door and you're like, I still feel kind of itchy. Is that normal? And I'm like, did you wash that shirt? And she said, I don't know. I'm saying you, she, I don't know. And you said, no.
Well, I didn't realize that.
And I'm like, you cannot wear that shirt. So we were like leaving and we came back in and we found a different shirt.
Yeah. And I like didn't even put two and two together until that's the last why you were itchy. Yeah, that's why I was itchy. I thought it was my coat.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, I'd been working too much and I was just like, I don't know what's going on.
I am proud of you though, because you put in a lot of hours and you worked late. You got up early and worked the next day. I mean, yeah, you have all that in you. You did that with a food truck. Like you, that was a hard, hard life. And I think probably because of that, you have a little bit of fear of like, I know what that's like and I don't want to go back to that. And I worked so hard to like have a balanced, little less stress life. And I don't want to get caught up in that again. Because I think you know you could. Like, you could be a workaholic easily.
I know I could do it, yeah. Yes. Yeah. And that's what scares me about myself.
Me too.
I don't want to go back to that because I worked hard, like you said, to have a consistent life for myself that brings me peace. Like, I don't want to be stressed out all the time, even though I know I can survive like that, but I shouldn't have to because it's not healthy.
Yeah. And that's where I'm at too. And I don't think, like, I have newer friends in the last year that don't understand what my life was like with a food truck for 6 years versus now, and that I've intentionally set my life up like this because I can't burn the candle at both ends or whatever it's called. And I think it was at, I don't know, I was at some meeting and people were saying, oh my gosh, you're so busy. And I'm like, no, I'm not. But I say no now. Like, I'm intentionally not busy. But I'm busy. Like, I'm not going to schedule more.
Yeah.
Because I am very picky about how I am filling my time now. And I have some things written in my book about when people say, instead of saying you're busy, ooh, should I get them?
Yeah. I get what you're saying, though, about, like.
Ooh, I opened right to it.
Are you saying that, like, you're saying no to people? Like, you're saying, whatever, I'm busy. And they're like, oh, my gosh, you have no time. But literally, it's like, you're just making the time for the things that.
Yeah.
Are gonna reward yourself.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm making time for the things I want to do instead of like letting everything rule my life.
It's not a stressful busy. It's a
no.
I'm setting boundaries busy.
It's not a stressful busy. It's really not. Sometimes I'm a little bored, to be honest, but I'm still intentionally not filling that time because I know
it's
myself.
Too much. Yeah.
And I got friends that are living that and it's like, I can't. Mm-mm. Okay. Instead of I'm so busy, I'm engaged in some really exciting projects right now.
I like this. Did you come up with these?
No. This is out of a book, but I didn't write which book. Usually I do. So if people are like, how's it going? You seem like you're really busy. No, I'm challenged and inspired right now.
That sounds like
Really challenged and inspired right now. It's like so amazing.
I love that though.
Right?
Yeah.
How are you doing?
It's like so positive.
I am certainly achieving a lot.
That sounds like
that's a little braggy.
Sarcastic.
Yeah. How's it going? How are you doing? I'm achieving a lot right now in life. Thank you for asking. Thank you.
I like these though because they're positive. They're not negatives. Like, yeah, I am so busy. Like, right. I got so much going on.
Yes.
Like, yeah, I am busy and I'm happy to be.
Yeah. How you doing? I am feeling full of purpose these days. Like, I am just in my flow. So full of purpose. So full of purpose. No? No? Not natural?
It's so funny because it's like, I can just see people around here reacting to that.
All right. Last one. I am grateful for all of the good things I have going on in my life.
I like that.
How's it going?
Let me ask you.
I am so... Okay, yeah, ask me.
How's it going? You just seem so busy often.
Oh, I am just so grateful for all the good things that I have going on in my life right now.
Like, do you believe these?
I do. Actually, I do. Like, this is my life. I am engaged in some really exciting projects. I am. That's cool. I am challenged and inspired.
I like these because I was thinking, like, we were just talking today about how you shouldn't lie to yourself.
Right.
And so you should say a fact. Like, if you don't like your hair, I was saying, for example,
I have hair.
You shouldn't say, I really like my hair today, to try and turn around as a positive when you really don't. You can, like, say, I have hair. I have brown hair.
Yeah, I am certainly achieving a lot. I am. I'm achieving a lot. I had to remind myself of that because I never feel like I'm doing enough. And usually the people around me, especially Anne, is really good at being like, you've done this.
Yeah, I should remind you. But I was saying because of those things, like the hair example, that I like these. And I was thinking, like, these do all seem very true.
You think so?
Yeah.
Good. About yourself, too? I am feeling full of purpose.
Yeah.
In this moment.
Yeah.
Today, I am grateful for all the good things I have going on in my life. I am. Those are going to be hard to like memorize, but I think some form will come out.
Yeah. And choose a few of the words. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's practice one more time. I'm going to ask you. I heard you're working 3 jobs. Like, how are things going for you?
I'm feeling so challenged and so inspired with everything that I'm doing.
Really? That is amazing. I'm so happy for you.
Thank you.
Do you feel like you're just like so busy?
I am so grateful and so excited for everything that's happening in my life.
Amazing.
So how are you? I feel like you've just been so busy and it seems so overwhelming.
Oh my gosh. I am working on so many inspiring projects right now. Like, I just feel challenged. I feel full of purpose. I'm loving it.
That's amazing. That's actually so good to hear. But I just can't imagine living that life. I would be so tired. How are you not exhausted?
I'm just grateful for the experience. Like, I'm grateful that I get to do all the things that I'm doing right now. It's filling my cup. I hate that phrase. I'm filling my cup. I'm like over it. There's got to be something better.
Say I'm overflowing my cup.
I'm overflowing my cup. My tea kettle is boiling out. I don't know.
Okay. Guys, that's how we are feeling. And that's how our life is. We are challenged and inspired.
We are. We're grateful.
We are grateful.
It's patience.
What is?
This is my quote.
Oh.
Do you have a quote? This has been my go-to for the last, since I got back from Costa Rica. While I was there, this was revelational, and I've passed this on to so many people last week. So I'll pass it on again here. Patience comes after acceptance and gratitude.
Yes, I remember you telling me that.
So whatever you're waiting on, whatever you're having to experience patience, I hate that saying about don't pray for patience. Whatever, pray for the dang patience, because you have to wait. Don't pray to wait, but like you have to wait. So why wouldn't you want patience while you're waiting? And the answer for patience is accepting the situation as it is right now and being grateful for whatever your situation is right now while you're waiting.
That's so good.
That will give you patience. It's a real thing.
And peace. I feel like that brings peace. Yeah. I mean, yeah. You could have other scenarios mixed in, but that one, that could give you peace.
Yeah. Yeah, because when you're patient, I feel like you're more peaceful.
Mm-hmm.
Yellow couch sessions.
Yellow couch sessions. Thanks for listening again, guys.
We're heading to Phoenix.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, what's going on? What was it we said last time? We did where we've been, where we are, and where we're going.
Where we're going. Where we're going. We are going to Phoenix, mother-daughter trip. Not like the one you want this trip and I do for different reasons, but yeah.
Yeah.
Not like it's a vacation trip.
It's not a vacation trip. We're going for specific reasons.
I'm going to get to see the baby. My niece had a baby boy, so I'm going to go see him.
I'm so excited.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we get to go see my cousin, mm-hmm. which is her niece, who just had a baby. We get to be introduced to the new little baby and see her other little kid is so cute. Oh my goodness. I'm so excited to see everybody.
It's so much fun.
And Luna, her dog.
Oh,
Luna.
The dog. Oh, I'm going to have so much laughter and joy, cuteness, overload.
And I'm excited to see Taylor.
Yes. Oh, I can't wait to talk to her about everything.
So, yeah, we're going to see
Nick.
Her.
And
I hope
the cat.
We get to see Nick. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, so we're going down to visit them, and we're also going down this was the main reason, but yeah. I also wanted to fit in meeting the new baby and everything with it, so going down for my best friend's graduation. She's graduating from college, which is a huge deal,
yes.
In my opinion, that is a huge deal, so I'm excited to go celebrate with her and be there with her, get ready with her, and spend some time for that big life change. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm excited for her too.
And also my boyfriend
lives
in Phoenix. So
Bonus.
I get to spend some time with him and we get to hang out and do our own thing for a day or two too. So we're fitting all that in and hopefully gonna go to lots of good coffee shops.
Yes. Repeaters. We wanna go to all our favorite places.
All our favorites.
And maybe new. I'm sure my niece will have some really good spots that she'll have in mind. The Olive Mill. I love going to the Olive Mill. And I really kind of enjoy flights now. Like, I have my routine. I know how it goes. It's predictable for the most part. And I know how to do it for the best success for myself. And I kind of look forward to it.
I also look forward to it. But my reason is because, like, once you're on there, you can't get off. And everybody's doing the same thing. And it's like time to yourself. To me, it's like alone time. Like,
no,
everybody's
I agree.
Quiet. And you just, like, you listen to music. You read a book. You get to nap. And it's just, like, you have to be at peace, kind of.
Yeah, you can't really have social media. So, and then I'm starting a podcast. Yeah, I don't know.
Well, I move into my apartment once we get back from Phoenix.
Yeah.
That same week.
Yeah.
What was that look?
I don't know. I don't know how to end this.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's where we're going. We hope you guys got something out of today's podcast and that you were inspired in some form, one or another. And we hope you listen to the next one. We're excited to keep doing this, I'd say. Keep healing with us.
Yeah, keep healing with us.
On this yellow couch.
We're doing pretty good today, but you never know what tomorrow.
You never know what the next one will bring. No matter if there's a yellow couch or not, the yellow couch is always with us, and we hope it is always with you. Goodbye.
Bye.
Peace out on this.
You gotta do the
I gotta
boop.
Do the... Which one is it? Okay.
I don't know.